You're in the book of Ephesians. If you look at Ephesians is such a great book of the Bible. It just really is. It divides so well. For those of you that know your Bible, you have in the first three chapters, you have the position of the Christian, and in the second three chapters, you have the practice of the Christian. In the first three chapters, you have the belief, things that we believe, amen. And in the second three chapters, you have the behavior of the Christian. And it's amazing how, listen, good doctrine ought to produce good behavior. Amen. Let me say that again. Good doctrine, really, truly believed from the heart, ought to produce good behavior. I'm not saying we become sinless, amen, but I am saying that if we truly believe some things about Christ, it'll affect the way we live, amen. And so, you go on in chapter 4, the first 11 verses really deal with the subject of unity. The idea there really it's found in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I preached on that not too long ago, and we talked about how, folks, that's work. It's work to have unity in a church. It's not something that just comes to be. We work at it. We work at when the person comes up to us and they say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." And I say, okay, amen. We work at having unity, amen. That person comes up to you and says, "Bill, you're my deacon and I need to talk to you about something." And Brother Horsch is going to say, "Well, I'm going to talk to you." And then we're not going to have any unity, amen. No, listen, it takes work, endeavoring, working at keeping unity. And it talks about where we're unified. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, amen. How about this? One book. One book that we're unified in. And so you have unity in really the first 11 verses. Then you have the gifts, and praise God. Talks about really verse 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then in verse 17 through verse, 22, we learn that every Christian is spiritually bipolar. You didn't know that, amen? When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit, amen? We get a new nature. There is also the old nature that is not eradicated the day you get saved and will not be eradicated until the Lord gives us our new bodies. Amen. And so He tells us a little bit about these two natures that we have. He tells us in verse 17, he talks there about, he says, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk." He says, look, now that you're saved, I know you live in Ephesus, which was a very cosmopolitan city. It would be much like one of our inner cities today. I know that you live in Ephesus, and you used to walk this way and live your life just like these others, but you're different now. You're different now. Hey, Christians, we're still supposed to be different. Amen. Part of the reason why we don't reach the world is they don't see any difference in us. Amen. And so he says, I want you not to walk as other Gentiles walk. But then he says in verse number 18, he talks about how they have their understanding darkened, their past feeling. And then verse 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life of the old man. You know, one of the things about getting saved later in life, one of the, I guess we could call it a benefit, is Brother Abe, I know what it was to live for the devil. I knew what it was to have my mind darkened. I knew what it was. And that I know the difference. And I know where God says here, you know what, let's put away that former life. Let's leave it where it belongs in the past. Amen? Before Christ. But then He not only kind of gets at the negative a little bit, but He also gets at the positive. And He says here in verse 23, He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you've ever heard of the doctrine of replacement, it's a good doctrine. If I could say, probably the easiest place to talk about it, Brother Case, would be in music. If you're a person who, before you got saved, you loved to listen to the wrong kind of music, what you need to do is, that, first of all, get saved. God will help you with that. But then you need to replace it with the right kind of music. Amen. One of the reasons we support Faith Music Missions is a great. They believe in the doctrine of replacement. There are those. You need the right kind of music in your life. And so God is saying here, yes, put off the old man, but replace it with the new man. Put off those things that you used to do for the devil and replace it with doing things for God. Amen? And so he talks about that here. And then he gets into really verses, I guess about 25. Verse 24 says, you put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. We'll deal with that in just a moment. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then there's this little verse that he puts in here. It says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. The word give place means to allow entrance. I've told my wife and my children many times, when they're at home, we've got a big, big old front door. Amen. It's got two locks on it. And I always say, when somebody is at the front door and you don't know who they are, you do not let them in. You do not open the door. You can talk to them through the door. Amen. I like the sign that Bill and Pam have at their house. They said, due to the price of ammunition, we will no longer be giving a warning shot to intruders. Amen. How about that? Amen. Well, I tell them, Brother Matt, don't open the door. You don't know who that is. You don't know who's off to the side of the door that you can't see. Don't allow them entrance. But just imagine, I have here a little tiny doorstop. Just a little tiny wedge. That's all this is. Just a little wedge. And just imagine, if this room back here, this choir room, represented our heart and our life. We want to do God's will. We want to serve God. We want to do the things of God. And just imagine that the devil is knocking at this door, saying, you know, I'd like to come in. I'd like to give you the good things of life. I'd like to, and you know what? You and I in our hearts, we say, no. You're not allowed entrance, devil. Amen? You're not allowed in. But imagine if just this little wedge right here, that without realizing it, we put this little wedge right in this door. Door won't shut, will it? Door won't shut. And you know what happens? Once this wedge gets in here and you open this door, you got full access. But it was just this one little thing. We try it again, we shut it. Neither give place to the devil. Don't allow him entrance in. But we do allow him entrance, don't we? And listen, he doesn't kick the door down. He uses just this little wedge, little tiny wedge. I'm going to preach to you tonight on a message called Giving Place to the Devil. And I've got 8 points, and then I've got some applications for us tonight. How do we give place to the devil? Well, the text tells us one thing, and several things actually. If you look at verse 25, it tells us, wherefore put away lying lips, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Now, I believe the first way that we give place to the devil is by untrue words. Untrue words. You know, I'm amazed at the things people will say that they don't know if they are true or not. Brother Leonard, we used to call that slander. In press, it's called libel. Listen to me. Untrue words are sticking a wedge in that door and allowing Satan access into your life. If you don't know something is true, can I admonish you? We've got small children in the room. Close your mouth. Stop flapping your jaws. The tongue is set on fire of hell. Keep it closed in your mouth. If you don't know something's true, don't say, "Well, I heard this." And if you don't know it's true, you don't know it's true. We taught our kids in Vacation Bible School, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If it's none of those three things, or one of those three things and not another, you don't need to say it. Right. Amen. Right. And he says here, untrue words. How many marriages have been wrecked because some gossip, some sister long tongue, some brother wiggle jaw got to saying words that aren't true, and the next thing you know, suspicions were built and all these other... How many ministries have been wrecked by untrue words? How many lives have been ruined by untrue words? I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. An easy way. The devil doesn't have to bang in the door. We leave it open for him when we use untrue words. And the next thing you know, he's got full access to our heart and our life. And he can work his havoc in our life. Untrue words. Let's be careful about what we say. You know, I was preaching out in New England and I was talking about, like I do so many times here, talking about the best way to deal with gossip. Gossip comes cloaked. Gossip doesn't just say, "Well, I want to tell you about this person." Gossip says, "Miss Joanne, I'm concerned about Miss Mary. And I know I can talk to you." So when that happens, Miss Joanne, let me just give you a piece of advice. When they say that, say, "You know what? Let's call Miss Mary right now." And that person will all of a sudden remember that they had a dentist appointment that they were looking forward to for weeks. Amen? And it ends. We give place to the devil with untrue words. So let's be careful about our words, church. Amen? Let's be careful about what we tell somebody else. And I think this, or I heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone who knew someone who heard from someone. You know what, I can tell you this right now, that's not worth saying. That's not worth repeating. You know why? Because we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. Untrue words are a way we give place to the devil. Secondly, not only untrue words, but if you look at verse 26, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I believe untrue words are an easy way that we give place to the devil, but I also believe untamed anger is an easy way that we give place to the devil. Untamed anger. I was talking to the young men today, and by the way, Pastor Donald, thank you for letting me do that split session today. That was such a blessing to me, and I got to just be with the teen boys. And by the way, we had a great crew of teen boys out here working yesterday. I thank God for that. They just did a great job. And Brother Case mentioned Drake and Mark coming over and helping them. Thank God for what God's doing in our teen group. Amen. And I was telling them about Mr. Perry. I said one of the biggest things, we talked about choices, and I preached, and I, Lord willing, I want to develop it a little bit more and preach it to the church. But I talked about how your life is your choices. Where you are at 30 and 40 and 50 years old is based largely upon the choices that you make. You're here in church tonight. Why? You chose to be. You chose to be. There's people that aren't here tonight that chose not to be here. Now, there are people that are sick and would love to be here, but they just can't. We understand that. We're talking about choices, and one of the most important things that I was telling the young people about is point number one was choose your friends carefully. You know this, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are north of 40 years old, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Amen? Show me your friends, I'll show you what's important to you. Just your friends say, and the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. You know, sir, your anger in the home can bitter your children up against their mother. Come on, church. Amen. That untamed anger, the Bible says here, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Sir, ma'am, husband, wife, let's work it out before we go to bed. Amen. Let's not have that untamed anger. Show me somebody that's just angry all the time. And you know what? I'll show you somebody that's given place to the devil. They're just given place to the devil. Untamed anger. Well, here's one. Let's go back, if we could. Leave your place there in Ephesians. Hold your spot. Go back with me to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm chapter 66, verse number 18. We don't realize we give place to the devil. We never knowingly do it. Amen, church? We never would. We never say, you know, I want to give the devil access into my life. Why? Because he ruins lives. That's what he does. We never do it on purpose, but I believe we do it without realizing it. Through untrue words. Untamed anger. Look at verse 18 of Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is that what the Bible says? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's a sister verse to that I want to read to you. It's in 2, actually, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Can I say the third way that we give place to the devil is through unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. You know, just because you're saved doesn't mean you still don't have a problem with sin. The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I don't know about you, I've never had a sinless week since I've been saved. Amen. I never have. Amen. But what I can do, thank God, He's given us a procedure to deal with it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God desires that we would come to Him when we wrong Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that thought. Forgive me for that action. But when we say, you know what? I don't need to confess. I'm fine. And you know, we don't say that out loud, but in our heart we walk in pride and say, you know what, I'm fine. I'll tell you what we do. Huh? We say, you know what, Satan, I don't want you to have access to my life and my children's life, but when we won't confess sin, God will not hear our prayers. What happens? He's got full reign to the house. He can wreak his havoc everywhere he wants to now just because, hey, listen, Curtis Hudson used to say this, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. I'd say this, you ought to have a daily time of confession with God. I say this, Brother Fremling, when I know I sin in the middle of the day, I generally try to stop exactly what I'm doing and bow my head and say, God, forgive me for that. If I speak unkindly to somebody, I'll say, God, forgive me of that. And then I go to that person and say, forgive me for speaking unkindly to you. You know what they say most times? They say, you didn't speak unkindly to me. I've had people do that. You know, I said this and I didn't want to offend you. I said, oh, you didn't offend me, but you know what? My spirit was grieved. And I said, you know what? The best thing to do is confess it right then and there. Amen. Unconfessed sin. I've seen unconfessed sin give the devil access in people's lives. And they're never the same. Literally, Satan just absolutely worked them over because they just wouldn't bow the knee. Unconfessed sin. Go with me, dear. You're in Psalm. Go to Joshua. This one's very interesting. point here. Joshua chapter number 23. How do we give place to the devil? Untrue words, untamed anger, unconfessed sin. Joshua chapter number 23. And if you're there, say amen. 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 I heard somebody say, uh-oh, I think that was my mother. Amen. Help her, Miss Vega. Help her. Help her find Joshua. It's right next to Revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just a relative term right next to. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 23. Look with me, if you would, there in verse number 11. Verse number 11. It says, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." And all God's people said, "Amen." Amen. "Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be as snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you." You say, "Pastor Rich, what could that be referring to in my life?" I mean, it's talking about when the children of Israel went into the promised land and they conquered the people, but they left some of the nations. I'll tell you what can cause us to give place to the devil. It's what I call an unremoved remnant. An unremoved remnant. And these nations speak of victories here that God had given to Israel. And he worked in a special way. But he said, "Look, don't go back to them. Don't go back and make marriages. They'll turn your hearts." And listen, you know, just two chapters over in the book of Judges, what happens? It says they conquered this people, but they didn't conquer this people. And they conquered this people, but they didn't conquer this people. And the next thing you know, they made marriages with them. And they turned their hearts from God. The great example of that is Solomon. Remember what happened? He married many ungodly wives and they turned his heart from God. And I want to tell you something. I think this refers to maybe things that we've gotten victory over in the past, but we haven't completely removed from our lives. We still got them hanging around in our lives. And you know what happens? Let me just put it this way. That one CD, young person, that you refuse to get rid of. That one CD. And the next thing you know, he's got full access. Because of an unremoved remnant. Boy, I think that's important. I really do. I think it's important that when God speaks to us and says to part with something, that we part with it all the way. I mentioned so many times that at our church back in New England, we used to have barrel burnings when I first got saved. Pastor Tharp was big. He'd say, "You know what? Bring it. Bring whatever you have and put it in a brown bag and no one will know what it is. Amen. And put it in the barrel." Thankfully, no one ever brought ammunition or anything like that because that wouldn't have been good. Amen. And but people would do that, and I remember what it was to be so newly saved and have so much garbage in my life, Brother Horshin. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying, "Boy, you need to get rid of that." And I remember coming up to the barrel, you know, with this gigantic bag of trash, you know, and people were kind of like, "Whoa!" But boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. But you know what? There were things, Brother Case, I hung on to. And you know what they became, Brother Jim? A snare. Something I'd reach for when the devil would tempt me. That's why, listen, if you got a problem with booze, make sure there's no booze in your house. Just get rid of it all. Why? Because if you've got it in your house and you have a problem with it, you'll go to it. Devil will tempt you. If you've got a problem with that television, listen, shut it off, unplug it, get rid of it, amen. Problem with the internet, just get rid of it, amen. Get rid, remove it, because an unremoved remnant can be a snare. It can be a way that we give place to the devil in our lives. Unremoved remnant. Number five. Back to Ephesians. Number five. Oh, I think of this one so much. Oh. Verse number 32. My son Eric told me, he said, we learned this verse. Can't remember where he said. I think he said truth trackers, Miss Brenda. Amen. We learned this verse. It says, and be kind one to another. No, I think we could just stop right there and have an invitation. Amen? Just be kind one to another. Be kind. You know, a way we give place to the devil is an unkind attitude. An unkind attitude. Just this idea that's... sometimes it can sneak into a church because, you know what, we've got the right Bible. Amen? We've got the right doctrine. We've got the right standards. We've got the right music. We've got the right stand, but we can have a wrong attitude about it. And Brother Case, we can look unkindly on our brethren that maybe haven't got to the place that we are. By the way, none of us got here by ourselves. Somebody helped us along and taught us and brought us along. But this idea of an unkind attitude. There's nothing that is easier to give place to the devil than an unkind attitude. Because you know what? An unkind attitude affects somebody else, and then they go off and tell somebody else, and they tell somebody, boy, let's be kind one to another. If somebody comes up to you and they say, well, Mr. Perry, I just think that is... You know what? Just be kind to them. They're probably having a bad day. Maybe they got a loved one with cancer. Maybe they've just buried the dearest person in the world that they love. Maybe they just got the report that their job after 30 years is going to be ending in 1 week. Why don't we just be kind one to another? Thank God that's not a problem here. Boy, I'll tell you what. I appreciate the kindness of our people one to another. You can tell. You talk to people. You see people in the lobby and they're talking with one another. And maybe somebody's sharing a burden and the other person will just kind of put their arm around and say, well, let's pray together. Amen. Thank God for that. But you know, it can sneak in. You know, the front of this wedge, well, I guess, is probably about an eighth of an inch, Mr. Perry. Amen. Not much to it there. But it can open that whole door over there. Just one little unkind attitude. And notice I said attitude. Attitude. An attitude of unkindness. Unkind attitude. Unremoved remnant. Unconfessed sin. Untamed anger. Untrue words. Oh boy, this one. Oh, help us, Lord. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. An unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit is a way we give place to the devil. Why? Because Jesus Himself is the one who said in Matthew chapter 6, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. To say, does that mean I'm not saved? No. But it means your relationship with God and His blessings has been stifled because of your unforgiveness. An unforgiving spirit is one of the easiest ways to give place to the devil. I appreciate loyalty. I'll tell you what, I saw a book when I was away. Just Mrs. B, just what I need, another book, amen. We're laughing about that. Pastor Schott gave me like three sets of books, amen, while I was away. He's like, here, you want these? Amen. I don't ever use these. But I saw a book on the characteristic of loyalty, and it fascinated me. It was written by a Harvard professor in the early 20th century. And I appreciate people that are loyal. I'm loyal. If you hurt Kim Boston with your words, you know what? You and I are going to have a problem. But if Mrs. Boston forgives you for hurting her and I don't, now me and God got the problem. Amen? Unforgiving spirit. We're Every one of us is going to be offended in this life. Every one of us is going to be hurt. Every one of us is going to have our feelings hurt. We're going to be spiritually trampled on. But remember, an unforgiving spirit is just a way to let the devil in the door. It's just a way to let the devil in the door. Forgive. Why? It says right here in this verse, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You and I don't deserve forgiveness, amen? We don't deserve to have any standing before God, but Jesus pleads our cause and says, Father, I shed my blood for them. Forgive them. And God says, yes, for Christ's sake. So we ought to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Let me give you a couple more. I'll just throw these at you. I don't think I need to dwell long on them. But untrue words, untamed anger, unconfessed sin, unremoved remnant, unkind attitude, unforgiving spirit, ungodly thoughts. Ungodly thoughts. Well, I'll tell you, we live in a sensual age, and we need to learn, as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When ungodly thoughts come, we need to confess them that they're wrong. We need to not dwell on them. Amen, church? Not dwell and stay there and meditate on those ungodly thoughts. I'll tell you, that's it. One of the easiest ways to let the devil in the doorway is ungodly thoughts, because they lead to number 8, which is unholy acts. Unholy acts. 2 Samuel chapter 11, the whole chapter is about the unholy acts of David. We learn in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and we have the laundry list of the sins of the flesh, unholy acts. Now, let me ask you this. Maybe you would say, Pastor, the Lord's put His finger on something here in a way maybe that I didn't realize it. I didn't realize I was giving place to the devil. How can I stop? Here's the application, folks. Just 4 quick points to your application. Go to James chapter 4. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Every time I go to James, I think of our Wednesday nights in James. Amen. 48 lessons in the book of James, and what a blessing that was on Wednesday nights. Chapter 4. See here, really, verses 7 and 8. Well, I just want to show you 2 points from here. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The first thing I believe that we need to do is we need to relate to God. If we're going to stop giving place to the devil, we're going to need to relate to God. It says there in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. We're going to have to agree with God. We're going to have to, first of all, say, you know what? I have been unwittingly giving place to the devil. Amen. Relating to God and drawing nigh unto God and getting close to God again. You know, you right now, today, you're as close to God as you want to be. He's not far away. Jesus said He's nigh. He's right there. We're as close to God as we want to be. I said to the young people today, the teenagers, I said, if you read your Bible today, it was because you chose to. If you prayed today, it was because you chose to. If you came to church and desired to worship Him in spirit and in truth, it was because you chose to. And here it tells us to draw nigh unto God. That's a choice. God, I want to be close to You. Help me. Forgive me where I fail You, amen. Forgive me for giving place to the devil in my life and in the lives of my family. So you have to relate to God. Secondly, right there in that text, you have to resist Satan. Can I say this? The order is correct. It is no good to try to resist Satan if you're not willing to relate to God. If you're not willing to get right with God, and you're not willing to draw nigh to God and get under His wings, as He says, you try to resist the devil on your own, you're going to live a life of defeat every time. Every time. It says here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I remember, and there's been a lot of How could I say it? A lot of slanted news recently about a young person who refused the authority of, I think, about four different figures, and finally a police officer had to come in and try to remove that individual from the class, and now the police officer has been suspended without pay. I'll tell you what, I know how to take care of that stuff, by the way. You apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge, amen? And the next thing you know, they may have an amazing respect for authority. I believe it's how God set it up, amen? But I thought about that, and I thought about how that person resisted with all they had. They resisted. You know what we need to do with the devil and his little wedges? We need to resist. We need to say, not only am I not going to let you put that wedge in, I'm not going to open the door even a little. It's locked, bolted, shut, chained three times. Amen. You can't have access. Resisting the devil. Again, it's hard to do that if you're not relating to God, because you're on your own. And the devil desires to sift us as wheat. We're going to have to relate to God. We're going to have to resist Satan. Something else. We're going to have to reject the sensual. I mentioned we lived in a sensual age. Can I say that we have a Bible principle for that? And it's the principle of Joseph. God bless Joseph. What a story. It's there for our learning and admonition, but every day I would just make a venture a guess that the beautiful wife of Potiphar, the captain of the guard, came and tempted him and tempted him and tempted him and tempted him and tempted him. And you know what he said? It's a great word. It's a great old-fashioned word. We don't know it anymore. It's the word no. When the sensual comes along, you know what we need to say? No. No. You know that prevent divorces. If we'd start rejecting the sensual. It would prevent problems in our lives if we just say, no! Is it easy? No, it's not. Dr. Malone used to kid us about the ministry. He said if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. If it was easy to say no, there would be no trouble. There would be no drunkards. There would be no divorce rate over 50% in the church. But you know what we need to say? No. We need to reject the sensual things. We need to kick some things out of our home. Amen. We need to kick some things. Just say, you know what? That program's just not welcome in our home. That we're not watching that. We're not about that. We're not doing that. Amen. Rejecting the sensual, and then lastly, not only relating to God and resisting the devil and rejecting the sensual, but back in Ephesians chapter 4, God tells us something to do. And it's so basic. I know you folks probably already know this, but it says in verse number 23 of Ephesians chapter 4, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do we do that? How do we renew our mind? This book. This book. This book. Read it. Heed it. Every day. You know, the Bible talks about it later there. I think it's in chapter 5. Oh, let me see here. We're almost there. Verse number 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about the church. He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the what? Word. See, the key to not giving place to the devil is to know how he works. Is to know his tactics. Is to know. We did an entire series this summer on battling the adversary, about Satan. If you're not in your Bible, you're going to keep giving place to the devil. You will. Most times, Brother Case, I really believe most times by accident. Not even considering it. But if you know that untamed anger gives place to the devil, you'll watch your temper. Huh? If you know that an unremoved remnant will give place to the devil, maybe we'll clean out the closets of our lives and get rid of some of those things. If we know that untrue words give place to the devil, we'll be careful about what we say. renew your mind. Get in this book every day. Get in this book. Say, well, I'm not a big reader. Listen, I understand that. Brother Merrill and I have a kindred spirit on this. We're what we call diggers. Amen, Brother Merrill? We're miners. You get to a verse and just start digging it out and mining it. And the next thing you know, I wanted to read four chapters, but I only got six verses in. Amen? That's okay. Get in the Bible every day. Have time with God. Renew your mind. Think about this age and where it's going. And the Lord's coming soon. I know that. Let's not give place to the devil. Let's not give him access to our lives through little sins that become big problems. Father, thank you.